Welcome to Mentors and Mavens, Up Close and Personal. I'm your host, Jane Ulrich. Each week, we will bring you amazing guests who have great stories, whether it be in life or business. Real, authentic conversations bringing value through mentoring, making connections, ideas for collaborations, full of inspiration, and taking life to the next level. I'm looking forward to you joining us. This week's guest is a longtime friend, and we go back to our days at Women's Business Network of Peterborough, Ontario. This is a story I've been wanting to share and finally had the opportunity to catch up with Colleen. Colleen Hogarth is a force of nature, and I don't think she even knew it years ago. Colleen likes to be in the background rather than the forefront. Yet, in my eyes, that's exactly where she shines, front and center. It took everything to talk her into serving as our WBN president. Colleen rose to the challenge and ended up having a very successful year being president. You will hear Colleen and I talk about a mutual mentor, the patriarch of our city, Erica Cherney. Now there was a force to reckon with. I will never forget going through a really tough time in business, and I was talking to Colleen through my tears. She said, "You hang up this phone and you call Erica now." "But it's late," I said. Colleen assured me Erica is a night hawk and will be up and would accept my call. That call got the ball rolling in a way I never thought would happen. Having mentors is one thing in life I believe everyone should have and can reach out to at any time. You just never know where that next problem will be solved or opportunity present itself. Sadly, Erica has passed on and we miss her wit and wisdom dearly. Fast forward a few years, Colleen moved out west to Victoria with her husband for an opportunity he had. After 4 years of being out there, Colleen made the plunge and bought an accounting practice. Having been in the accounting industry for over 30 years, this was a perfect move for her. Freedom Accounting, Inc. offers a full range of bookkeeping and tax services from small to medium-sized businesses, as well as individuals. Soon after she bought the practice, Colleen joined CPB Canada and achieved the Certified Professional Bookkeeper designation. Freedom Accounting has since grown to include 15 team members. Colleen is chair of the CPB Canada Board and has served on many of the committees, including governance, accreditation, and compliance, and finance. In 2016, she received CPB Canada's prestigious fellowship award and is a FCPB. In this podcast, Colleen is sharing her journey and why not to wait until later and to go for your dreams now. So much wisdom and truth is shared, and once you listen to Colleen, you will know why she is a success in her own right. I hope you enjoy this episode. Well, hello, Colleen. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you, Jane. So good to see you.
Oh, so good to see you again. It's been, how long has it been since you have moved away from Ontario, that you're now in Victoria?
We left Ontario in 2008.
Oh my God.
Like, it's been over 10 years. It does not seem like 10 years, but yeah, it's been 10 years.
No, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy how time flies. And I'm so excited to have this podcast with you because, as I said before we started here, that I'm just so excited of how your journey has taken off and what a 180 you have done. And it's just been, I just watch you and I think, oh my gosh, I'm like, I just do a happy dance for you every time I see something new of you. And I just, wow, that's just from somebody that's, I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous when you get up to a podium and now look at you. So you have your own business and we're going to have a little chat about what's been happening and share with our listeners of, you know, how inspired you have to me and to everyone else. So let's start this. So Colleen, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a little town called Queensville, just north of Newmarket, Ontario. And we lived there until I was in high school. And then we moved to Beaverton after that.
Oh, Beaverton.
Yes.
What took you there? What your parents?
So growing up, we had a Massey Ferguson dealership in Queensville, the family business, such as yourself. And the business was sold. So my dad took a position managing another dealership in Beaverton. And so I finished my last high school years there. And it was interesting. As you know, growing up in a family business, it's all encompassing. So it was, it's a cool upbringing.
Very much so. It's a whole education in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you live now?
I live in paradise. I live in Victoria, British Columbia, Garden City. It's just the most amazing place. To live on an island in the Pacific is so cool to say.
I have yet to get there, and our son just visited Victoria not too long ago, and he was sending us pictures on Snapchat, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, we have to make time to go there the next time we're out there, when we can travel again through this COVID situation, this pandemic gets over with. But yes, you do live in paradise. Just he was staying at the Fairmont, and it was just spectacular. Like the gardens, that's my thing, gardening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine being there year round.
It's not something that you take for granted either. As I said, being here 10 years, over 10 years now, I'm still awestruck by the wonder of the mountains that we see, the ocean that we can see, and, you know, be on the ocean in moments. And it's just everything about this is just surreal. It's lovely living on an island until you want to get off sometimes. Sometimes that's a bit of a challenge, but for the most part, it's cool.
I bet. Yeah, because you have to think, you have to plan ahead.
That's right.
Yeah. Lots of planning. What is your favorite quote or mantra?
It's interesting. Since I've been in business, and you know, there's highs and lows in business. But there is one that was put out by a group. It's a lady out of the UK, runs an entrepreneur group. And she says, don't quit on yourself. The ones who make it are the ones that keep going, no matter how hard it gets. And it's true in any facet of your life, and whatever you do, you just have to keep on going. Means to the end is difficult, but the end is just fine when you get there.
Oh, that's so true. That's a great quote. Yeah, it's the journey is not always easy, but the rewards at the end are spectacular.
It is so true.
That's great. So do you have a bucket list? And if you do, what's at the top of it?
It's interesting. I really don't have a bucket list because I feel like I've done a lot and accomplished a lot. But I think that if I did, it is to be closer to my granddaughter. Mm. So physically closer. You know, she lives in Winnipeg. We live in Victoria. That's a little challenging. And she's brand new, or almost brand new now, just over a year. So having that ability to have the flexibility to be with her and go back and forth would be awesome.
I know. Yes. You know, having your family at a distance is hard. You know, I
know that, you know, that firsthand too, with having Devin out in the West as well. So
we had that great fortune of traveling out there this summer, and I'm grateful for that, but it's hard when you can't just hop on a plane right now and go out. So I know that distance is challenging. So if you could go anywhere on a wellness retreat, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, where would that be?
I think I'm not a world traveler. I like being close to home. I'm a homebody. And we live in a pretty cool place. But there is an island off of our island called Salt Spring Island. Mm. And Salt Spring is so interesting. And it's about a 35-minute ferry ride from Schwartz Bay over to the island, to Salt Spring. And I have to say, just getting on the ferry and going there, when you get off on the other side, it's a completely different world. It's just like, and my husband says the same thing, it's just like your stress just melts. It's just the coolest thing. And I would go there in a heartbeat for anything, but for wellness, yeah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, somebody else has mentioned Salt Spring Island, so I thought, you know what, check that out, because it sounds like a spectacular place, obviously. They've just described it, so. And being out in the West Coast, like, what is not to love about out there?
Well, and Salt Spring has so many artisans, too, and they have a great Saturday market. Mm-hmm. And it's only artisans from Salt Spring that can be in the market, and it can only be wares that they have either made or grown themselves. So you can go and basically pick up dinner and along with craft type things as well. But one weekend later, we had picked up lamb. There was a whole range of mushrooms we picked up. The squash were incredible, and cheese. Oh my gosh. Salt Spring Island goat cheese. Oh my gosh. You so have to try that. It is so good.
Okay. So goat cheese is my favorite. So yeah. Would have to go out there just for the goat cheese.
Yeah. Happy to take you.
And I would do that. So what is the funniest thing that has ever happened to you, Colleen?
My God. Okay. We have to go back in history for this. But my husband grew up in Buckhorn, and we were, yeah, and he and his brothers played hockey. And while we were dating, he and his brothers were playing in a hockey tournament in Duro. And so dead of winter, snowy. And at the end of the tournament, there was a dance at the Duro Community Center. So we went with another brother and his wife. And coming out of the dance later in the evening, husband thought he would like to be very chivalrous and carry me to the car. And what ended up happening was him dumping me in the snowbank, and then my brother-in-law picking me out of the snowbank, and I'm going, so yes, that was hilarious for everyone, me included, no injuries.
That is too funny. I just love hearing little stories like that, because sometimes you see people in business and you think they're so serious. Not saying that you're serious, but you know, it just, there's got to be something super funny that's happened, and you got to share it and have a good laugh, right? And I know I could probably name off a gazillion things, because it just seems to happen, but I love hearing little funny stories of, you know, life's most embarrassing moments. And I'm sure now, like, I'd have to have depends, because if something was to happen, that's just, you know, you laugh to the time, to the point where you're laughing too hard.
Yes.
So
yes.
Funny. What is your favorite charity, and how do you like to give back, or what is something that you like to see? Not that you can, you know, you have to contribute, but you know, there's your time, talent, and money, but you know, something that you support and that's important to your heart and a good cause.
So a couple of things, actually. We have a group here in Victoria called 100 Women Who Care. Mm. And it's actually turned out to be, like, I think 231 Women Who Care. And quarterly they have meetings, normally in person, but now virtual. And people get to nominate a charity or not-for-profit, and then those charities and not-for-profits get to then make a presentation to the group. So from a business perspective, I think this is awesome, because they're getting to sell themselves to this group of mm-hmm. pretty awesome women. And at the end of the evening, after the presentations, everyone votes on which one will receive the money from 100 Women Who Care. And it is that each person who is registered contributes $100. So it's a large sum of money for some of these organizations. So I think it's really great when a whole bunch of women, as we have seen ourselves, come together. What an awesome job we can do. And then secondly, here in our office, we are a group of women, And we actually just had our strategic planning session last week. And we have decided as a group that we are going to connect with women in need to prepare tax returns for them, free, gratis. Wow. And everyone here is going to give up their time to do those tax returns. And then we will make a donation as a corporation as well to the not-for-profit or charity that we're working with. So that's just getting off the ground. But 100 Women Who Care, I thought it was the coolest idea ever. And I just think it's just phenomenal that, you know, it's not a huge amount of money on your own that you're contributing, but when you come together as that group of women and you're making such a significant impact on a charity or on a not-for-profit, and the next month what happens is they come back and tell you how they've used that money in their organization, which I think is also phenomenal that we can then see the benefit of what we have done. So yeah, to me, it's a great group.
That is a great group. They just started it here in Peterborough, Ontario, and they started it a couple of years ago. The impact that they can do is, you're so right that I think that's just a really good organization, and women can make such a difference. So that's just awesome that you're doing that. And the tax returns. Wow. That's amazing for women, because you know, it's not the easiest thing to do. It's another headache for, mm-hmm. you know, especially if you're a single mom or you're struggling or whatever the circumstance may be, you coming to that need is amazing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to developing that and growing that as we grow along. This coming tax season will be our first sojourn into trying to do this. But it's so important that, you know, sometimes tax returns get, when you're in that much stress, it's the one thing that you don't want to deal with. And quite often we end up with people in here who have 7 years of taxes to be done. Mm-hmm. And it's because of some life event started off that they just, it was the one thing that they couldn't cope with. Right. And then year number two comes along and they're just like, oh my God. And then they just ignore it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, CRA comes knocking on the door and they have to get caught up. And then they come in and they say, I'm so embarrassed. It's, nah. Who cares? Let's just get it done. And, you know, if we can preempt that, because what happens is you these women who are potentially in low income situations are eligible for credits, GST credit, child tax credit. And if they don't file within a certain period of time, they lose those credits. Mm. So better that we catch them in the beginning if we can and keep that money flowing when they need it the most than them saying, this is just one thing I can't cope with right now. And so hopefully we can help a little bit there.
That's a good message to get out, because a lot of the time, you know, when you're in a situation like that, you think that there's, you know, it's a burden hanging over your head, but yet there's money sitting there that you could have. And you don't even realize it. So that's good that you have said that, and that can get out there, that message, and hopefully women can take advantage of that. So good for you mm-hmm. that you're doing that, because it's a need for sure.
Thank you.
Colleen, what is your magic dust? As in something that you shine in and that you spread to others. And I could think of a few things, but I want to hear it from you.
So I have been told that it's my warmth and my calmness that it just puts everyone at ease, and not that it's maybe calmness inside. I'm more like a duck, you know, floating gracefully along the top of the water, but inside I'm churning like a million miles an hour. But I think that it helps. It's kind of like when I talk to our team before tax season starts here in the office. And I say that, you know, we don't have anxiety being in the office. It's like a second home to us. But everyone that walks through that door during tax season has anxiety, because taxes are a high level of, they just amp everybody up. Mm-hmm. So if we need to be calm and cool and collected when people come in, we need to smile, and we just need to be like, oh, this is no big deal. We got it. And that's what we do. So, yeah.
No, that's good when you can put people at ease and they know that that's a really good quality to have in your practice, is that, you know, they're walking through the door and that they don't have to worry about anything other than, you know, they get their information to you and that you look after it. And that's really good, not knowing you can put that stress, mm-hmm. and take that stress away from them and know that you're being looked after. So that's good for people to know that in your practice. What's the one resource that is helpful to you and that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Networking groups. It's how you and I met. I would say that this is both personal and professional. I've made some of my closest friendships through our networking groups. We met through the Women's Business Network of Peterborough, and it was the one thing, the singular one thing that helped me grow. From being a person that could not talk to anyone, being so shy I couldn't look anyone in the eye, to now doing what I do, which is run a business and chair a board of directors for the Certified Professional Bookkeepers of Canada. All of these things I couldn't have done if I hadn't had the support of women like you in my background. Mm. And so when I moved out here to Victoria, it was our move here was specifically for my husband's career, and I had left a career behind in Ontario, and I had to reinvent myself when I came out here, and that took a few years. But when I landed on purchasing a small business, I knew before I even had signed on the dotted line that I had to belong to a networking group out here as well. And I've met some great women through the West Shore Women's Business Network and eWomen Network here. They both have helped me grow this business and given me the opportunity again to rebuild the confidence that I had left within Peterborough. And then when I moved out here, it kind of took a slide and I had to start building it back up again. And it was through them that I would say that I got that back, got my mojo back, and can do what I do now.
It's been a beautiful journey watching you grow from when we first met and being on the board at Women's Business Network. And I just remember you getting up to a podium and saying, I'm so nervous, but you always killed it. You did so well. And you know, you just had to push out of your comfort zone. And that's where, you know what, women have to push themselves, mm-hmm. because nothing good happens in your comfort zone.
No, it's true. It is so true. And I, you know, my first time up to the podium at Women's Business Network, this haunts me to this day, was you would ask me to do thought of the day, and I got up there, I did it. On the way back to my chair at the table, I literally thought the floor was coming up to meet me and I was going to pass out. And then it was back in the day when our group was small enough that we passed the mic around to introduce ourselves, mm-hmm. and it came around to me and I got out my name, and then do you think I could remember where I worked? And having my mentor and boss sitting across the room, Erica Charney, and I'm looking at her going, but eventually it came out.
And look at you now. You're a business yeah. owner, and you've just yeah. done so well. And Erica would be so proud.
I hope so.
Yeah, I miss her so much. It's been, yeah. 4 years.
Yeah, me too.
Well, we're going to circle back around to that. So networking groups are so important, and you have to network to get work, mm-hmm. is what one of my mentors always told me. So that's really important. So I'm glad you shared that. Is there one person that you would like to connect or collaborate with? And if so, who would that be?
You know, I just spoke about Erica. She is a huge influence, was a huge influence in my life, continually is. I hear her in my ear, despite her not being with us any longer. And if I could have her back in a heartbeat, you know, in relationships, there's good and there's not so good stuff. And Eric and I didn't always see eye to eye, but at the end of the day, I always knew she had my back, and always had the right thing to say. And I go back to her words constantly, and you know, in because I'm a sensitive person, I tend to take things very personally. And she said to me, "You've got to stop this because it's not all personal. No, you know, you just have to let that part go." And I hear her little, her words in my ear constantly in business. When I'm writing response to specifically Canada Revenue Agency, they don't care about emotion. They don't care about your ego. They just want facts. So I write it and then I go back and say, "Would Erica have said this?" No. So red pen comes out and we start over again. So I think that that relationship has grounded me so much. And I think, you know, if currently I have some awesome connections here in Victoria that I just, like I said, I'm not a world traveler, so my world is fairly small, and I like to collaborate with the people that are close to us. And there are some awesome women in Victoria that I look up to, and I ask questions of them, and I look to them for guidance as well. So there's a, we have a wonderful lady here that does social media, Julie Selby, and she is on the end of the phone whenever I need her. Yeah, there's just a whole, and I think it all comes back to networking and how you've built relationships from that.
So. It's so true. Relationship building is just so important. I've talked about this before, and you just never know where you're going to need that relationship, you know, in the future. Mm-hmm. And business is built on relationships. It grows, and that, and relationship building is like the number one part of business, as far as I'm concerned, and watching it grow and having those networks, you just don't know who you're going to need. And, you know, like WBN in Peterborough was just an amazing resource. You know, you always had somebody at the, you know, at your fingertip.
That's absolutely true. There was always someone through
always
that group.
Someone. Yeah. You get it done. And uh-huh. I remember, you know, one of our executives and, you know, needed something. And we had, I think in an hour, I accomplished this, and this. It was because of the connections of uh-huh. having that. And it was simple. So it's so valuable. You can't put a price on having those networks in your back pocket. So it's great to have.
Uh-huh. It sure is.
What's the biggest problem you see in the world, and what would be the solution that's in your world, like that you see that's needs to be resolved?
In my world, finding more time for me in my world, because I tend to put everything first, that's outside of me, my well-being. So that right now in Victoria, though, we need to deal with smoke and it comes from climate change and everything that's happening currently in the northwest of the US. It's really sad what's happening. And, you know, right now we're in the midst of COVID and all of those precautions that we have to take. And now we have to take precautions because our air quality is so bad. Mm-hmm. And, there's just so much happening, and I just don't know, you know, I think when COVID hit, the most interesting thing happened when our world kind of shut down was the fact that, and I've said this before, that if we can see a silver lining to what happened with COVID was that our environment was out of control, our consumer spending was out of control, our busyness was out of control, and it made everybody stop, just stop. Mm-hmm. And although I traveled to the office during COVID because We were considered essential service for payroll providers. There were no cars on the road. The smog, what smog we have in Victoria, lifted. The mountains were clearer. The people just slowed down and had spent more time with family instead of rushing out to a meeting here, a meeting there, a meeting here. I think consumer spending went down, which is hard for our small businesses, but at the same time, we couldn't continue to carry on at the rate that we were.
No.
And I think that if we have to find a silver lining in all of this, I think it's those things that we've reconnected with family and realized that we don't have to spend. Yeah. I'm not sure if I gave you the answer you're looking for.
No, it's, you know what? You did, because it's so true about when the world stopped because of the pandemic. There is a silver lining here. This too shall pass, but we can't go back to what it was. I can't go back to the way I was before my illness, because it's just, it was, everything was out of control.
Mm-hmm.
The busyness was really, you know, it gets people sick.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, you have to slow down. You have to look after yourself first. You got to, it's like the same, it's like when you're flying, you got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you can help anybody else if something was to happen on the plane.
That's right.
So same thing here. You have to put the oxygen mask on and slow down. Enjoy your family, because time flies so quickly. I'll never forget my father saying, like, you think time flies now? And this is when I was younger. He says, wait till you get to my age. And probably, like, he was probably 70. He says, it just goes at lightning speed. And before you know it, you know, and that's it. So it is a silver lining. And I hope people, you know, the spending, you know, still support local as much as you can. But everything just needs to come back into check. And mm-hmm. hopefully we get this climate change under control.
Mm-hmm.
Our leaders are, you know, we get more green and we get, you know, change our footprint, all of that.
It's very true. And I think living on the West Coast brought the greenness to me in much more clarity than I lived when I lived in Ontario. And I think it's the ocean. The ocean for me is, there's just something so magnificent about an ocean. I know we have wonderful lakes in Ontario, and, you know, I love cottage country. I love our Kawarthas, but there is something magical about being on the ocean. And I talked about the ferry ride to Salt Spring Island, like for us to leave, you know, first of all, the big city is Vancouver. Well, the big city is an hour and a half ferry ride away, plus a drive. And there's just something magical about getting on a ferry and being on the ocean. And I just hate to think of that ocean being so polluted that we're going to lose our wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I don't know. It's just something about that.
Yeah. It's pretty magical. It's pretty majestic how big mm-hmm. and grand it is, and you want to protect it. So hopefully, you know, I think our younger generations are so much more aware and they want to change things. So I'm really hopeful for the future. So this next question, I think you pretty much answered it. You know, do you have a mentor or coach? I know your mentor was Erica, but even now, do you have one? Because sometimes, you know, I've lost a couple of mentors. Erica is actually one of them. And my other mentor, she's passed away. So, you know, you always look up to people. And so do you have one right now, a coach or a mentor?
I don't. Lots of people I still look up to. I wouldn't say specifically the same relationship I had with Erica, for sure. But, you know, I look up to you. You know, you've always been there for me and some of the great women in the community that I've met here, but great people still in Peterborough that I come back to time and time again. Kim Appleton from Emmett Digital has supported our business and has held my hand through getting us going with websites and branding and everything right from the get-go. My BFF, Christy Dick, who now holds the same role that I held in at Charney's, I just think, you know, she's just the most amazing person ever. And she's similar to myself, has gone to running a business from not being in this type of role before. And we share, you know, stories constantly and situations that we help each other through. Gwyneth James, Cody and James in Peterborough. She fortunately has, her family is here in Victoria, just outside Victoria. So I get to see her once in a while outside of COVID. Right. And we always get together and talk business and always bounce ideas off one another. And I love that so much. And here there's just a slew of people as well. I can mention Julie Selby, Deb Alcadino, who runs Rush Shore Women's Business Network, is such a lady of connections. She's just amazing. And Jane Johnson, she was the managing director of eWomen Network. And one of the top realtors out here, she's just phenomenal at what she does. And it's not about the real estate. It's just about connecting you. It's back to connections again, back to relationships. And so is there one person right now? No. Is there a many? Absolutely. And, you know, when you run up against a situation, it's so nice to be able to think in your Rolodex in your head as to who you can call, who can I bounce this off of? And getting ready to talk with you today, my very good friend, Grace Dimian, who now is in Calgary, she was on the other end of the phone and I'm going, oh my God, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And she talked me off the ledge and said, you'll be fine. And we talked, you know, about, you know, what I could talk about. And it's having a supportive group around you. And I just love that to bits. I look at my team here in the office. We're a team of 10 women and we are all very strong and very good at what we do. Sabrina, my operations manager, she is the guiding light around here. When I'm in a situation or she's in a situation, we just lean on each other to get where we need to go. Stephanie, who is our supervisor of bookkeeping, she's blossomed. She came from just, you know, not just being a bookkeeper, but being a bookkeeper, a very good bookkeeper, and me saying, are you ready to take on a bigger role? What do you think about this? Oh, I don't know if I can do it. Yeah, you can. And now she also guides me from a technical perspective. And I think it's that old adage that you have to surround yourself with people who are smarter and better than you. And oh my God,
yes,
these are just, you know, awesome people. And it's funny, it's women, and it never intended to be that way. And it was funny when I started the business that when I looked at my client base, it was primarily women. And women felt comfortable dealing with me. And I am so happy about that I could be that. And it's not that men aren't welcome. Absolutely not. And it was funny, we talked about that at the strategic planning last week, because we're going to add another team member. And I said to them, how do we feel about this? You know, and we're a team of 10 very strong women now. And we're okay with that. They have to be okay with it too, though. And so it'll be interesting to see how that all works out. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's, you know, women supporting women again. It's just when you have that, when you create that environment, uh-huh, strength and compassion and everything else mixed into it, you just want to be a part of it. So it sounds like obviously you have done that. And that's really where I wanted to see take this, is how you came to buy your business of, you know, Freedom Accounting Incorporated, and, you know, how that opportunity came up and where you were just before that. Because I know you were out there, probably 4 years. Because I remember it's 2012 when you bought the business.
Yes. So I mentioned earlier that we came out here for my husband's career, and it was an awesome move for him. And we had always thought at some point we would live on the West Coast, but it kind of happened a little sooner than we thought, but that's okay. So I did a couple of things. I worked for another property management company, and then I went and worked for a real estate developer for a while, but always came back to the background of accounting and bookkeeping. And I happened to be scrolling on Craigslist, I think it was, and I saw this tab that said businesses for sale. I thought, so I clicked on it. I thought, people actually advertise a business for sale in here. So I did. I clicked on it, and there was a bookkeeping and tax service business for sale. And I thought, holy man, I have always wanted to own my own business. And it is so hilarious that it actually coincided with the year I turned 50. And so I read the ad, and my husband was traveling, so I called him and I said, what do you think? And he says, I think you should call and find out more. So I called a friend and I said, can you call for me? Again, that insecurity, that, you know, very scared person just rose to the, bubbled to the surface. And so my good friend, Kathy Suffel, was in real estate in at the time. So she picked up the phone and called for me. And she called me back and she says, you're going to love them. So she says, they're expecting your call. So Reed and Virginia Wahlberg here in Brentwood Bay had this home-based business that they were selling. They wanted to retire. And it was some bookkeeping clients and a whole bunch of names on a tax list. So Andy and I, my husband and I, jumped in the car and went out and met with them. And as they tell the story, as soon as we got out of the car, they knew that they wanted to sell to us. So they were interviewing people. It was not that they were just going to take somebody that had the cash. They wanted to know that their clients were going to be looked after. And it was the coolest thing. And they are still my biggest supporters today. They, they're just the nicest people ever. And they worked really, really hard that first year, being on the phones, making sure that the clients were comfortable meeting with me and moving along with me. So that just started on the path. And then we opened up an office, and it was the tiniest little office. It was actually like a triangle, because literally the part of the office went into a point. So it was like a piece of pie. Mm-hmm. And I had an office within that office. So we started, and the fellow that owned that office space, he was an insurance person, but he worked primarily from home, and it was just for drop-offs and pickups that he had this space. So we grew within the first 6 months. It was like Victoria was waiting for me to open the doors. And it just started to grow. And I think by, well, Chris, my son, came home from university in Australia that year. So he started to work for us around, I think, the beginning of July. And he said to me, Mom, I am not doing bookkeeping. I said, absolutely fine. But there's lots of other things you could be doing. So he got us our first real photocopier, the letterhead, the business cards, you know, all of the branding stuff. He was right into the business end of things. And then one day I walked in and he's drawing T accounts, which is how you learn how postings go in the old days with bookkeeping. And he says, do I have this right? And I said, yeah. So that was his beginning. So now he became part of the family business, and again, a family business. So the business has just continued to grow. We've made some missteps along the way. We opened an office in Sydney because we had grown out of our office space in Victoria. Would have been great, but it wasn't meant to be, because our labor shortage here was just crazy. So you know, as a business owner, you have to make tough decisions from time to time. And I tell you, that was one of the toughest, was having to say, we're going to close this office. But it was just, we weren't servicing our clients well. We were able to move those clients to Victoria, which was great. But it has been such a period of growth that I'm still in awe of what we have accomplished. You know, to go from just me sitting very scared in that little office to now having a team of 10, who some work virtually. We have a lady who currently lives in Kingston. She was living here. She moved to Kingston and she says, I'm going to have to quit. I said, no, you're not. You are still going to work for us. I don't care where you are. So we placed an order and had Microwage in Kingston go in and set her all up so she could work for us continually. We had one lady working for us in the Sydney office when I decided to close. And she says, well, I really don't want to have to drive into Victoria every day. And I said, okay, can I work from home? Absolutely, you can work from home. So she works from home as well. We just recently acquired a book of business in Shawnigan Lake, which is outside of Victoria going up island. And that's been interesting as well. It's been another opportunity for growth, and how do we assimilate those clients into the way we do things here, and taking all of our processes and procedures that we have and putting it into an office that to make it run seamlessly as well. So it's been so cool. It's just, I love talking to people, and I think, you know, we've talked about relationships today, and there's not a single client I have on the client list, both from a bookkeeping or a business perspective or a personal tax client, that I wouldn't want to spend time with. And the most heartbreaking thing about COVID this year was not seeing those tax clients. You know, I couldn't, you know, sit down and have a visit with them. And I love the visits. I love hearing what's gone on in their life in the last year. And I miss that. And so hopefully this year, maybe not this year, maybe the following year, we'll get back to being able to have those visits.
It's been certainly a challenge for sure to have those in-person visits. And I think now that we are 6 months into this pandemic, I'm starting to crave that human connection.
Yes.
And it's hard. You know, it's this is great. You know, Zoom works. But it's not the same.
No.
It's not the same. It's not having, you can't have that, the handshake or the hug. I'm a hugger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't care whether it's business or not, you're going to get a hug. But I think we kind of did a lot of that at WBN.
I think so. Well, the first year that I had this business, I had a dish of candies at the door, and they were Hershey's Kisses. But there were hugs and kisses. So when people left, I would say, would you like a hug and a kiss? Kind of broke the ice with all of those new people. So maybe I need to do that with our folks in Shawnigan Lake, get them some hugs and kisses. But that was the coolest thing.
Ah, see, there you go. There, see, you could be sending out some hugs and kisses as a little.
Yes, yes, that's true. Yeah. That is very true.
A little marketing planning right there.
Thank you very much. I have written that down.
We miss you. So here's your hug and kiss.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. No,
it's all good. It will, mm-hmm. It will get better.
Yes, it will. It just takes time. And
time when you're in the thick of it, it doesn't seem like it. And I know a lot of people are hurting right now because, you know, they're in business and you just don't know what to do sometimes.
No, and that's right.
And you wonder if you're going to be here in 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, next week.
You know? It's been interesting. Our client list, I don't think that there has been one business that has closed. I think I'm very fortunate our clients have been well prepared. I know through my involvement with CPB Canada, the Bookkeepers Association, that there are a number of bookkeepers who were concerned for their business. And what we have decided to do, our annual meeting, our conference is in just, I think, 10 days, was supposed to be held here in Victoria this year, and it's actually going to be virtual, hopefully next year in Victoria. Mm. But so part of what we're doing for our members is we're starting a series of business workshops. So the first one is on pricing and ensuring pricing is right. But what I had said was that when the pandemic hit, that and bookkeepers were so concerned about how they would get through this, that we needed to find a way to ensure that we fix their foundation. Because, you know, if your foundation's right, your house is crooked, isn't right. So you've got to have your foundation. So how can we support our members and get their foundation right? So it was a bit of a soapbox moment, but fortunately my conference planning committee knows how to put up with me. And we all agreed that we would start, we would switch hats and become our workshop planning committee after conference was well in hand. And so we're starting this off with a pre-conference session on pricing, and then we're going to move to things like mission, vision, and values, and then marketing. So within our membership, we have wonderful members who are doing all of these things themselves. And so this is going to be an opportunity for them to share with our membership specifically how they did it for themselves, so that our members can then take away from those workshops things that will improve their businesses. So, and it's this organization is hugely important to me. It's I got involved right when I bought the business, and because my husband said, you need to belong to an association. I said, okay, you figure that one out. I'm busy doing other things. So he came back, he says, you need to join this group. And at that point, it was called the Institute of Professional Bookkeepers of Canada, IPBC. And so I said, okay. So I joined, I took their exam, and then they had chapter meetings once a month. And so I went to the chapter meetings, and of course, I talk a lot more than I used to, obviously. And I said to one of the women who happened to sit on the board at the time and was part of our Victoria chapter, I said, you know, our exam really isn't that relevant. I said, I think it needs, you know, someone needs to look at it. So this was in the spring. I remember it being in the spring. And then in September, we were having our first annual conference in Richmond, BC, and just outside of Vancouver. And so at the conference, my friend Avis introduces me to Diane Mueller, who is the founder and I think she was chair at the time of the IPBC, and said, Colleen thinks we need to work on the exam. And the next thing I know, I'm on an education committee. And then spent the next year working with five of us, four other wonderful women, Diane leading us, my friend Marge, Laura, and Cheryl, and myself, all across the country. And it was kind of my first sojourn into dealing with virtual boards and committees. And we rewrote that exam that year. Actually, we rewrote it to be three different exams. And it was so wonderful getting to know these people. And that was just the stepping stone to me being involved in this organization. And now for basically since 2012, I'm finishing up being chair of the board for this past year and this coming year. So my term with them will end in May or in September next year of 2021. It's been such an education for me being involved on this board, as I was involved with you on the board at Women's Business Network, that there's something about giving back, and my area is administration. That's what I do. I'm all about following the rules. I'm all about getting things done. I'm not the social media guru. I'm not, even from a technical perspective, I'm a good bookkeeper, but there are way better bookkeepers from a technical perspective. Hence why I have all of these great people here. But it's just learning from every single person that I run into. My vice chair, Marnie Stretch, from just outside of Calgary, she's amazing at what she does. She runs a very different business than I do. She is more into teaching, bookkeeping and software. And I've learned from her. It's just, there's so many different, and it's interesting. Again, I come back to all these women things, and it's not intentional, but bookkeepers, when we did our survey, you know, our organization is primarily women, and primarily women of my age, which is so, so cool that we're all, we have this whole great big group of people that are all so similar. And although all independent, so very collaborative at the same time. And I think that there's no, you know, when you're dealing with women, there's no ego. There's no, it's roll up your sleeves and get it done. How do we get this done together? And that's the best part of this. It's just the best part.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love how women collaborate and connect. It's just how we get things done. Mm-hmm. And it is so important to be part of a network of some sort so you can move on to, you know, grow your business and grow personally as you do professionally. Both go hand in hand, because if you don't mm-hmm. grow yourself, you know, the rest of it's not going to grow. That's
so true.
It's so true. And I think, you know, that's personal development has been a big part of me since I've had my illness, and, you know, 8 years ago, which seems like a lifetime ago now, but it's just, it's a big part of it. And that's how you grow. And, you know, that's how women, as I said before, get things done. So I'm just so thrilled watching you, and your journey has been nothing short of amazing, and how everything has all come together with your business and how you have got such a strong, diverse office. You do. You just, I, you know, checked it out online. So it's just so great. So Colleen, what advice would you give your 20-year-old self now?
That was easy. That's so easy. It would be to take more risks and don't be afraid to talk. Don't be afraid. People want to listen. And it's still something I struggle with on a daily basis. And if I had these experiences when I was much younger, I wouldn't have waited until I was 50 to own my own business, I don't think. But it's the one thing. Don't be afraid. Just go for it. You know, you can weather any storm.
So true. You know, you have to fail forward. You have to take those chances. You have to, that's how you learn. You know, the more you fail, the more you learn, the more successful you will be, because you learn from those mistakes. Or even so, I also, in my younger years, I would watch other people and their mistakes, and it was good, because, you know, you just did not want to go down that path. And, but it also allowed you to make your own mistakes too. So it's just been, you have to take risks. And I hope that's, you know, I know that will be you're going to be an inspiration for younger women entrepreneurs because that's what's happening now. More and more young women are entrepreneurial. And I love it. I just love how so many young women are taking that path, because, you know, you don't always want to build somebody else's business up in the big corporate world, because it's not as rewarding as some. It's perfect for some people, but it's not for everyone. It's just like everything, right?
Yep, absolutely true. I will tell you now that I am a horrible employee, but I am really good at running my own business. So I think this is where I was meant to be.
Yeah. And you've created an atmosphere where everybody wants to belong and have fun, right?
It is. It's true. Yeah. And it was funny doing the one-on-ones with the team leading up to our strategic planning last week. I said, you know, could you tell me three things you like about working at Freedom, and three things that you might want to change about working at Freedom. And all without fail, everyone said that they loved working here. And I thought, okay, that's success. If that I've got a team of people that want to show up here every day, that's freaking awesome. And I, you know, I'm so happy about that. And I know people, our team members will come and go because lives change and, their interests change, but mm-hmm. it's so awesome.
It is awesome. I love it. Mm-hmm. Colleen, what do you want your legacy to be?
Just that, I guess, that I was a great employer, that I was good at coaching strong women here. Yeah, from a business perspective, for sure. And that if I brought a little calmness and serenity to others and doing what I do, then I'm real happy about that, real happy about it.
I love that. I love that you've shared so much with us today, and your journey has been, out of everyone I know, you've done the biggest 180, and it's been such a joy to watch you from our early days on the Women's Business Network board to see you get all red and flustered, and I can't get up to that podium, and what am I going to do, and you're making me do this, and you did it, and now look at you. It's all these years later. It's just amazing. And knowing that other women can do, if you can do it, anybody can do it.
It's so true. It is so true. You just, I talk to other clients here, and when they come in and they're struggling with their business, and I don't do near as much networking now as I used to when I first got going, but I would say, come with me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to walk into that room the very first time, but let me take you, because I know how difficult that is and how very scary it is to walk into that room. And I just want everyone to know that I did it. Me, who was so shy that couldn't look people in the eye, I walked into a room of unknown and I survived it. And everyone can do it and be so much better for it. So much better for it.
You're amazing. Your journey's been amazing. And I love this chat. Colleen Hogarth, you are the Chief Number Cruncher at Freedom Accounting Incorporated. And where else can we find you? What is your email? Where are you, you're located? Do you have Instagram? Anything like that we can add to?
So my email is Colleen at Freedom Accounting Inc.com. I am on LinkedIn and Facebook. You can check out our Facebook page for Freedom Accounting Inc. We have regular posts on there about updates from CRA, what's happening in the business world. Often a picture of our chief cuddle officer, who is Ricky, our Morky puppy here in the office. And we'd love to see you on our Facebook page.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. And we will make sure that we get this information out on so people can connect with you and keep collaborating. And just loved having this chat with you. Thank you so much. And I can only imagine where you're going to take your business in the future. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you, Jane. It's been a pleasure to be here. It's so nice to spend time with you.
Thank you for listening to Mentors and Mavens, Up Close and Personal. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you feel this was of value to you and would like to share, please take a moment and leave a 5-star review. I would be grateful for this. And until the next episode, we rise by lifting others up.